But anyway, I'm preaching on Mark chapter 2, and so if you want to go ahead and get your Bibles or your phones ready for that, we'll come to that later, because I want to talk about the concept of, like, friendship this morning, and that's kind of what we're leaning into, but we'll come to that later if you want to go ahead and go there. It has been said that you cannot live the right life with the wrong friends. It's a statement that I heard a while ago that really kind of stayed with me. Growing up, my sister used to say, if you run with dogs, you'll get fleas. There's this idea of it's important who you put in your life. And we all understand the concept of how important friends are. We need people in our lives that are going to affirm us, that are going to encourage us. We need people in our lives that when we fall down, they're going to pick us up. When we need that extra drive, they're going to push us a little bit. The writers of Scripture understood this comment too. If we go to that first slide, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. We understand how important it is to have people in our lives. They're going to encourage us. They're going to guide us. They're going to help us. And the writer of Ecclesiastes understood this. We see this all throughout Scripture, how important it is to have community in our lives. And so recently, I've found this story that I love, and I'm going to share a little bit of it with you this morning. But it's a story of two guys named Patrick and Justin. They're two just guys. They're bros, for lack of a better word. They were born in the same hospital 2 days apart from each other, and they've considered themselves best friends since that day. They've been inseparable. We go to the next slide. Justin, however, has a neurological disease that's similar to ALS. And so for a long time, he's lost the function of his legs and his arms, and he's completely dependent on the people around him. Like, kind of the tasks that we do on a daily basis, like, Justin has to have help. Putting on a shirt, brushing his teeth, the basic human functions that we kind of have come just to do without thinking, he has to have help. And his helper for a long time in his life has been his friend Patrick. And so a while ago, Justin was watching television and he saw this trail. If we go to the first picture, it's a trail called Camino de Santiago. It sounds like, I know, it's very authentic. You're welcome. But it's a trail that goes from the southern part of France all the way through Spain, landing. If you can go to the next slide, this is kind of a picture of what some of that trail looks like. As you can tell, it's a very rugged trail, but it's become very popular. It's about 500 miles from, again, that southern part of France to throughout Spain. And so Justin was watching television, and this person was talking about this trail and how it's become popular, and how people are traveling to Spain just to do this 500-mile trail together, all the way to this last thing here. It's a cathedral with the Shrine of St. James. So people travel across Spain just to get to this shrine. There are a couple different paths you can go, but this one that's 500 miles is the one that Justin just, he loved. And so they were sitting around talking, and Justin was like, man, this would be awesome if I could go. This would be great if I could have traveled this trail. I would have loved to see this part of southern France and through Spain, ending up at the Shrine of St. James. And this is where their friendship has become captivating to me. Because most of us, I think, would have said, man, that would have been great. Like, I wish we could have done that together. It would have been a fun, fantastic experience. And that's how a lot of us respond. But what Patrick said is, I'll push you. There are a lot of logistical things that I don't understand how they did this, but Justin said, I will push you. Instead of deflecting, instead of going in a different conversation route, what Justin decided to do was say, you know what? Or excuse me, what Patrick decided to do was say, I will push you. And so in true, I guess, millennial fashion, what they decided to do was write a book about it and then record it. And so they have actually produced a movie, and we're going to watch the trailer here in just a second, but they've actually produced a movie called I'll Push You, and then we'll talk about it. So let's watch that trailer, and then we'll talk about it a little bit.
It still amazes me how far we've come.
Mm-hmm. ¿Vais a hacer todo el camino?
Sí.
Sí.
Vas a tener bastante difícil.
Sí, sí. Muy difícil.
Lo sabéis.
Sí.
That's been something that's so rare. I haven't seen a friendship like that before.
Malfunction.
It's hard not to feel like a burden in this.
So, fabrication.
Got it?
Slow.
Oh, I'm cramping.
I think his body's kind of feeling the effects of it the last several days.
Sucks. I'm
trying to let Jess know that it sucks, though. Man, I do not like who I am.
Okay, seriously, dude, it's time to walk.
I'm just making it, guys.
I have no idea how far this goes. I don't either. Sometimes it's best not to know.
Really hard to let somebody do that.
Yo, what's up, bro?
I don't know how we're gonna be able to do it.
It was not the faith.
These are waters that are too deep for me to have on my own.
That's pretty stupid. Honey, I love you. If I die, I love you.
If I do have the time that I have here now, then let's enjoy it.
So I've watched this trailer probably like 30 times. I'm captivated by it. Like their friendship is, there's something about it that like we all want. Like I love this idea that when his friend said, hey, I wish I could travel this trail that's 500 miles in Spain, his friend just immediately said, I'll push you. There's no hesitation. Like he just goes with him. And you can see just from the movie, the trailer itself, like they're difficult times. The Patrick guy, his body starts wearing down over time because of like how difficult this is. Now, I want to just kind of do an aside plug because the movie actually comes out November 2nd. They're doing just a one-day showing. It's in partnership with the Muscular Dystrophy Association. You can find out information about that on I'll Push You. I'm not like plugging these dudes. I'm captivated by the story, and I think it's awesome. So if you're interested, you can go to their website and find out more about it. But I bring this up because, I've watched this trailer like 30 times, and the word that just keeps coming to the forefront of my mind is empathy. Yeah, at its core definition, empathy just simply means the ability to understand and share the feelings of another person. And that's the word that I keep seeing when I watch this trailer. Because Patrick isn't just pushing somebody. I believe that Patrick is actually in the chair. He is, for this time in his life, he is trying to understand what it would be like to be in Justin's situation where he said, you know what, if I was in that wheelchair, I wish somebody would push me. He's just not on the outside. He's got into that chair and he's understanding that human experience that another person is feeling. And I think this trailer, like I think it shows that. Like what it's like to be there for somebody in that way, not just simply to pat them on the back, but to actually like experience their pain, experience their situation, and to walk with them, to push them. And when I was looking at this trailer, when I was working on the sermon, I kept coming to Mark chapter 2. This is a story that I remember as a kid thinking, like, this story is awesome. These guys, they dug a hole in a dude's roof. And now that I'm a homeowner, I'm like, wait, these guys drilled a hole in this guy's roof. And it's like an insane story as an adult. As a kid, it's fascinating and it's really thrilling. But then as an adult, you're like, oh man, the insurance claims on that one, that's going to be rough. And so I want to look at Mark chapter 2 and tie into this concept of empathy. So if we could just go to that first passage. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." We're going to leave this here real quick because we're going to break it down. So I want you to think just for a moment, like the most crowded that you've ever been, like the scene, maybe you're at a concert where you're shoulder to shoulder with people, because that's what's happening here, is Jesus is inside the house and there's just essentially layers of people trying to hear the words of Christ. Think about that just for a moment. Because there's people on the outside that probably couldn't even hear what Jesus was saying, but they just wanted to be there in that moment. Like the rumors of who Jesus was were so captivating to people at this time that even just the chance of hearing like a phrase or seeing a glimpse of Jesus was enough for people to stop what they were doing and go just find where he was. So that's what's going on here, is you've got so many people who've crowded into this house that there's like essentially overflow parking. People are out in the street. And the scene tells us that it's so crowded that these guys have brought, there's five guys, there's four guys carrying one guy who is paralyzed on this mat. Now, as a kid, when I read this story, I thought, this is cool. This paralyzed man has four strangers who have taken him on this mat to see Jesus. And I miss this idea of friendship, of empathy. Because it's not just four random guys. I mean, when was the last time you had four random people do something like this for you? These are four friends, four guys who love this guy who is paralyzed on this mat. They're not doing it just because it's a random Tuesday. They're doing it because they think that Jesus can heal this man, and they're going to do whatever it takes to find Jesus. And so they go, and they see this crowd, and there's too many people. And I don't know, I would love to have been there and been in that group of the guy who said, like, let's cut a hole in the roof. Because that's not like the first thing that you often think about when you're thinking about how to get to Jesus, is like, we could go through the roof. But some had a wild hair that said, like, you know what, let's do that. And so the roof element is important because it gives us a little insight of whose house Jesus is actually at. So it says that since they could not get to him, to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. So what you've got here is actually, it's going to be like a thatch roof. This roof would have had like wooden beams, and then they would have laid kind of like a mud straw mixture that would have been above it. And that's how we know that, because they're digging into it. They're not cutting into it. They're actually like physically digging into the roof. So what that also tells us is this is likely somebody that would have been considered poor in this community because of just the roof styling. And that's one of those really cool, I guess, like Jesus nuggets that we get, where Jesus is not at the synagogue, he's not at the most popular place in town, but he's gone to somebody who is likely poor, who needs a friend. And Jesus has gone to this guy's house, and he's preaching. And so Jesus, just think about this too, because Jesus is preaching, and this is awesome that Mark doesn't tell us anything that Jesus is preaching about. Like, we don't get the content of the message, we don't get any of that, but we just get that Jesus is preaching, and then the roof essentially starts to open. Like the digging, and you can kind of see Jesus, he's preaching, he's talking about something, he maybe dusts it off a little bit when a couple of stuff falls and hits him on the head. And then there's that moment too where like maybe light comes into the room and you finally look up and there's a man on a mat being lowered down. I mean, this scene is crazy if you think about it. But it's crazy only because of this friendship. Like, we are captivated by how much these four guys love this guy that's on the mat. And this is where that concept of empathy comes in again, because they're not just carrying around a friend, but they themselves have placed themselves on this mat. They've said when they left that day, they said, if I was in his situation, I want you guys to do whatever it took to get me to Jesus. They stopped what they're doing and they're carrying their friend. And Jesus, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. And this is kind of where that opening statement of you can't live the right life with the wrong friends. Jesus sees the faith of the people this paralyzed man has surrounded himself with. And that's what Jesus is in awe of. Like, these guys believe so much that Jesus is who he says he is, that if they cut a hole in a roof and lower their friend down, Jesus will heal them. And Jesus doesn't, you see, there's no touching. There's nothing like that that happens. Jesus sees their faith, and he says to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, let's go to the next one. There's a scene with the teachers of the law. They're there as well, and they're kind of challenging how Jesus can do this. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus responds, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I'll tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Now again, like as a kid, I read the story, and it's the fact that the man has walked that everyone is amazed by. And I think that is definitely true. But I also think the scene, the entirety of the scene, is something that people were amazed by. Maybe there were people in the crowd that day that had never seen friendship like that. They'd never seen other human beings empathize with somebody else who was in the situation of the paralyzed man on the mat. And so when this guy walks away, everyone is amazed because of this entire scene that has occurred before their eyes. And I love this idea of, I guess, finding ourselves, sympathizing with somebody, but not just feeling sorry for them, but experiencing their pain. And so I saw this video a while ago. It's a commercial, and I want to go ahead and like include it. It's a Guinness commercial. I'm saying that just in case you Google it. I don't want you to think that I'm like pulling one over on you guys. But it's a really fascinating commercial, and let's go ahead and show that, and then we'll talk about it. Cut it off before they go to the bar or drink, just because I didn't want to offend anybody. How many of you have seen that commercial by any chance? So some of you have. When you were watching that commercial for the first time, weren't you just like, wheelchair basketball is crazy. Like, they're so physical and they're pushing around. And in that last scene when they all get up, you're like, oh my goodness. Like, these guys get it. Their friend that is confined to a wheelchair, he loves wheelchair basketball. And these guys, in this time of day, whenever they decided to play basketball together, they get in the chair with the guy. He's not excluded. He's included. They understand his situation. They understand what it's like for just a little bit to be confined into that situation. And I've watched that video a few times this week, too, because I get so excited at the end when the guys stand up, and it's like you get like, oh, my goodness, they were doing that for their friend. And there's this moment that kind of captivates me with all of these stories. I want to be more like the guys who push. I want to be more like the guys who carry. I want to be more like the guys who say, you know what, we're going to play wheelchair basketball today so our friend can feel like we're in it together. That's what I'm going to do this week, is I'm going to try to find those situations, those moments in my life where I can empathize with somebody. Not feel sorry for them, but experience life with them. When we do that, like, we become the community of God. Like, when our desire, when our drive, when the purpose of our life is to bring people in, what we have to do at times is we have to push people, we have to carry people, Maybe sometimes we have to get in a wheelchair and play basketball with our friends. And so this week, what I'd like to challenge you to do is to ask yourself, who are you going to empathize with? In the middle of this, I said that empathy is just simply the ability to understand and share feelings with another person. So who are you going to do that with this week? Who are you going to find yourself saying, you know what, like, I've never been in your situation, but I want you to explain it to me. I want to experience what you're going through so I can be a better friend, so I can be a better encourager to you. Who will you carry? Who is somebody in your life that finds himself maybe on a, you know, an actual mat or like a spiritual mat that you can say, you know what, like, maybe it's my goal, my point as a Christian this week to help you get from point A to point B in your walk with God. Or who will you push? Who in your life do you know that needs that extra kind of help or encouragement to maybe just get them to tomorrow? I've said this before, but I believe in my heart that God puts people in our lives every single week to serve. It looks different for each of us. Some of us, that's just like getting coffee with another person. Maybe that's driving somebody to an appointment. Maybe that's stopping your day and just spending time with somebody. But I believe that God puts those people in our lives because it allows us to be who God created us to be. And our goal as Christians is to increase the kingdom of God. And to do that, we have to push, we have to carry, and we have to love.